again, everybody. And Michelle, if you would please call the roll.
Councilmember Rosander?
Here.
Councilmember Hadler?
Here.
Councilmember Longacre?
Here.
Councilmember Dudley?
Here.
Thank you. On the consent agenda, we have the minutes, claims, and a payroll summary. I'll entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Mayor, I make a motion to accept the consent agenda, which contains minutes of the February 10th meeting, claims, and payroll summaries.
And second, please.
A second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion? Comments from the public? Okay, vote, please.
Councilmember Dudley?
Aye.
Councilmember Rosander?
Aye.
Councilmember Hadler?
Aye.
Councilmember Longacre?
Aye.
Thank you. Consent agenda has passed. Departmental reports. Assistant Chief Baby.
Mr. Mayor, council members, we received Chief Kerr's report. I don't really have anything new to add. So do you have any questions for me?
Any questions?
I have a question regarding the new hire. I noticed that the last new hires didn't last real long. Are we doing something to make sure? Is there anything we can write in our contract or anything to hopefully make that longevity?
There is a contract that we can have them sign. A lot of times it's 2 years, and so I don't know what.
You just have to decide if you want them to do that.
Yeah, I don't know what they've decided yet, so they're Corey has.
I just remember like last time what happened. You put them through school. Then.
Yep.
So.
And this guy's from Florida. He has to air it.
You're right.
He said he came vacationing to Montana and fell in love with it. So it felt like home to him. So
good.
Seems like a nice kid.
Okay. Thank you.
Kevin? Thank you, Merlin, members of the council. I also have nothing to add to my report.
Questions, Kevin?
Safety wise, we were good. No incidents or anything.
No, that's how we're able to have a quarter of a meal, like lunch.
Yeah, a noon lunch.
Those are kind of the rewards if there isn't any accidents. So.
Thank you.
And you guys are welcome to come if you also to purchase it. If you guys ever want to, you're welcome to come.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Michelle.
You should have had your report when you showed up here tonight. I was telling the mayor, I realized on my driving today that I forgot to drop off my report. So it's hot off the press. The biggest thing is that we resolved and settled down the matter at what I think is a fair price, and MMIA agreed. I think MMIA had enough authority to get that done and did get it done. So I think that's a good result. No trial is going to be a week or two from now, so that's very good. So now we just have two pieces of litigation on there that we'll continue to work on. That's really about all I have. Any questions?
Did you have a chance on the water rights?
On the water rights, yeah. And so I think you guys have also in front of you it's a motion to the water court for some water rights.
I hadn't passed out.
Oh, you've not passed out. Okay, sorry. So don't look like that. There's it's basically all of the owners of the water rights. So all of the plant owners plus the city of Colstrip. And they are asking the water court to make reality comply with what the water rights say. The original water rights for the water coming down the pipeline from the Yellowstone River didn't include all of the city of Colstrip and all of the remediation areas, which is the place of use for that water. So they're just saying, hey, this was always intended, so let's make sure that it says that the place of use is this big giant map that they've put forth. Mm-hmm. And then also just to clarify that Castle Rock Lake is also an intended place of use. So Talon is kind of leading the charge on that on behalf of all of the owners in the city of Colstrip, which is nice because they hire the water attorneys to do all of that work. And we kind of ride along with that as a co-owner on those water rights. So, but I read through what the mayor gave me and nothing out of the ordinary. And it was also, we'd kind of seen this before. They'd asked us if we had
any input on it. In the process.
Yep, we knew this was coming. So it's a motion to the water court. I don't think think there's going to be any opposition. They also want to publish it, which is just publish the fact that they are looking to clarify these water rights. So if you happen to read the legal section, and it might even just be in another notice part of the paper, but it will be in the Rosebud County paper, and it will be in the Billings Gazette. So if you see something regarding water rights and the name City of Colstrip is on there, that's what it's about.
And if anybody'd like to see that, I've got it for you.
Okay.
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 So, okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Members of the council, Mayor, you got my written report. I did attend a landfill meeting at the county courthouse last night. Not a lot was accomplished there, just signing the contract with the engineer that kind of designs the, takes care of the landfill, the cells, and all that stuff. But they did approve the beautification committee asked that Saturday, April 25th, will be the open day for people to bring up their own garbage. And then that following Thursday, the 30th, will be their spring pickup day where the city helps them beautification go around and pick up the appliances and stuff for everybody. And we'll take that up there and dump it, and they won't charge us for any of that stuff. So last year there was kind of some confusion. It was raining and it was muddy, and they weren't aware that we were doing it that day, so there was a little confusion. So we got the date set, and if it's a rainy, miserable day, you know, we'll get a hold of them and put it off for a few days until it dries up. So that pretty much was agreed upon last night, and that's about all I got, unless you got any other questions for me.
Any questions, Pat?
Is there life on the landfill out here?
I don't know what it would be, but I'm sure there is. They got another couple more cells that they got to open up and use for their, you know, to dump them in and cover them back up. So it's another 30, 60 years probably.
Cool. I don't know if it was on my drive in, whether it was still burning.
I don't know exactly.
I don't think so.
I
didn't see it. So.
Thank you.
Any questions, Pat?
Okay, thanks.
Mayor and council members.
Well, it's never done burning.
On March 16th, and we
yeah,
March 16th, auditors will be here.
Open it up underneath the right spot and get a little wind to it. There's,
so
there's cold.
I guess I'm prepared. I don't
that's
know.
The thing.
Hopefully it goes well.
Trying to completely get
I've
out.
Never had to be involved in a federal single audit before, and this will be our first time, and it's because of the amount of federal grant dollars that we received during the past fiscal year. So that's why it's federal. So it's just more intense, takes more time. Hopefully I didn't mess anything up. Right now is property insurance renewal time with MMIA, which basically is just going through making sure we have everything insured that we want insured for property. If we want to change insured values, things like that, we do this every year during this time. So I'm working on that. A newsletter will be put out, I get all the articles in. Hoping by mid-March we can get that done and printed and out. It probably won't be more like till the end of March. It always depends on when I get all the articles in and how long it takes to start printing to print it. So that's what I'm working on right now. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Questions for yourself?
Oh, if you have any suggestions, ideas for the newsletter, please let me know.
I do, and I've
okay.
already shared it with the mayor.
All right, good, thank you.
So I think there should be something in there about flag etiquette.
Okay.
So, and I think he agrees. So I was going to be quiet until you said that. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anytime you have any ideas or suggestions, let us know. Be happy to put that in. Thanks.
Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, on my report, we've got a cemetery board meeting tomorrow, and the cemetery board will be working on the pavilion, making decisions on the pavilion and some other things. The garage that we're going to be utilizing for housing the equipment out there and some other things. As you recall, we have a $100,000 grant from the Community Foundation, so we'll be working, the board will be putting together a plan on those projects on phase two of the cemetery. I did get a response from the BNSF on my letter. This was an interesting response. It did an email response, so I'll do that with council members. They did recognize the issues that I had brought up, and they were well aware of those when I sent out my letter to the BNSF. And they have indicated that we will be issuing a refund on a portion of the inspector's costs. That was $41,000 that we paid through the contractor for the inspection of that line. But they didn't indicate anything on the permit itself. That was another $40,000, as you may recall. But I did get a response. And then we've got some ongoing meetings with the Montana League of Cities and Towns on this particular issue. So, and I've shared all the information, all the correspondence that I've had with the BNSF, with others within the Montana League of Cities and Towns. Also, I sent in a letter to the editor here I think it went out just yesterday. I sent one to the Gazette and one to the Forsyth, to the Independent Press. So this has to do with support of the acquisition and the generation plan that Northwestern Energy has put together. And so we'll see what they do with when they receive this as far as publishing it as a letter to the editor. So hopefully they'll put in there what I've prepared. So that's just to give you a heads up on that. I did send an email to the DEQ in supporting the Northern Plains connection project, and we did make that deadline to let them know that as a city we are supporting that line. So that's out there. Also, and I shared the information that Councilmember Rosander on their article that was published in the Seattle Times that featured Mr. and Mrs. Jack Rosander on the, I hope that's right on the headline or right on the front page of the Seattle Times.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly what that is. It's cool.
But I thought it was a...
We're going to go with that.
Yeah. I thought it was a decent article. It wasn't a real totally negative article in regards, and I appreciate that Jack's input into the process, and Jim also had input into the process. I was interviewed, but I don't see anything here. So there you go on that.
I guess not.
Information.
Imagine that.
And also, we'll have a task order for the next meeting on the diversification study. You will recall that we did receive a grant from the Coal Board to update our current diversification study. Councilmember Rosander made a presentation to the Coal Board. So there'll be a task order at the next meeting to begin the process of that upgrade. It's a $30,000 project. So that's what's going on. And then, of course, I did share this, and I just received information that Gene Hensley did pass away this morning. So, but I did share this information. Thank you. I thought it was a very warm thank you that we received from Robbie Hensley on providing them the access to the senior van. So it made us all feel good that we were able to assist her into that process of getting Gene home. That's what I've got, unless there are any comments or questions for me. Okay.
I just wanted to say thank you for that letter.
Sure. Well, hopefully they'll print it all, but you never know on those things. Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Thanks. Okay, the next item is the public comment. Any public comment at this time?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm Jim Atchison, the Southeastern Montana Development, and got a couple things here, and I'm glad the mayor brought up the diversification strategy that actually KLJ did back in 2017. And they actually won an award, a statewide award for planning and as an engineering company. So anyway, this is needs to be updated. There's a lot of things going on or soon to be going on that are not even in this, but this kind of started a lot of stuff for the community and the county as well back in 17. And we're very proud of that, and a lot of things have come out of that. So it's time to update it, and so I'm glad to hear I brought that up earlier. Also, which is kind of related to this, is SCDC is doing our annual SEDS, or community SEDS survey, which this year will be an online survey again. And we do that in 7 communities. So those of you that have received the survey link, please fill it out. You've got till the end of the month to do it. I appreciate if you could do it before that. If you didn't get a link, let me know, and we'll make sure you get one via email, anybody in Colstrip or any of the other communities, Forsyth, Miles City, et cetera, et cetera. Because what we do with this is kind of important, and that's where this came from a long time ago, is we get what's going good, what's not going good in each community, and then we look for trends, and then we share the information with stakeholders that can either fund it or can make it happen. And a good example, and some of you may have heard this, back in 2015, we were in Ashland, of all places. It's an unincorporated area of Rosemont County. And one of their issues was the safety of the semis going through town at night. There was no street lights, there was no sidewalks. People were getting hit, dogs, et cetera, et cetera. So we put that on as a project, a street light project and a sidewalk project for drainage. 2 years later, Julie and I were going into Ashland, and lo and behold, there's crews putting up 33, I think, street light poles as we were coming into town, and it just makes you, light bulb goes off literally. And that was because of this study that was shared with the county commissioners, who shared with the Department of Transportation, who had a little bit of money over here, who had a little bit of money over here. Hey, that sounds like a good project, let's do that. And today, the streetlights are because of that planning project. So anyway, it makes a lot of good in these communities that we deal with. So anyway, so if you got the survey, please fill it out, and then we look for trends and find funding to help whatever that situation is. We know what's going to happen in Colstrip. There'll be a lot of remarks about water, housing, and a few other things, but that's pretty common. So a VIC update. Right now, we're probably a couple weeks away from moving into the VIC, and so there's still a lot of inside work yet to do. We're actually receiving some furniture tomorrow, and so units 5 and 6 are operational, which is, and hopefully that'll be in the minutes. That's the snacks on top of the roof, and of course the little blinking lights is to pay a tribute to the big power plant over here, and we'll have some more comments about that later. But if you go by at night, there should be little blinking lights. We don't want any aircraft flying into the stacks, by accident or anything like that. So grand opening is scheduled for the end of April. We're not quite sure on the dates yet, but we'll make sure you're aware of that. And ironically, we're having a lot of interest in the BIC. We have 5 or 6 events that are trying to be scheduled, big meetings throughout the rest of the year. So I think there'll be more and more of that. Actually, we have to turn one down in March because we weren't going to be ready yet. So anyway, so the BIC is going good, and we hope to have it full speed in April, operational. So more to follow on that. So thank you once again.
Thank you.
Unless there's any questions.
Do you have speed coming up?
No, we're EPA compliant. we've heard that a few times saying that we're definitely compliant. So. Thank you.
Thanks, okay, thank you. On unfinished business, we have the 2026 street improvement projects, and council members have a copy, and provided the geotechnical at the last meeting and at this meeting, we've got a breakdown of probable cost on this that, and Mickey's here from KLJ, and we've got schedule one, schedule two, schedule three, and four. All four schedules totaled a little over $4 million. And so we're working through the process, and our recommendation is we've brought the bid on this, but we have some issues still that we need to resolve as far as the services on Chisholm and Primrose. We have some discussions on that. What you want up, Mickey, and to decide on, to take a look at some of the services, and we're going to be going through this and redlining some of the suggestions as far as the number of services per lot on this. So that's where we are in the process. Our thought is we'll go out for bid for the whole thing, and then we may do it in two phases because of the estimated project cost is a little over $4 million. So why don't you go ahead and give me a
look. I'm Mickey Bidwell with KLJ Engineering, and I was a design engineer for this project, and the mayor had asked me to come down and kind of give an overview of the project and where we're at and how we plan to bid it and hopefully it work when we move on. So this 2026 pavement improvement projects, it includes a combination of water service replacements, structural and non-structural overlays, and some storm water drainage upgrades. It's been divided into those four different schedules. The water services replacements and street improvements on Chisholm and Primrose, non-structural mill and overlays throughout town, a structural overlay on Sweetgrass Drive, and a reconstruction on Laramie Circle. And then the fourth schedule is the Vista Drive stormwater drainage improvements. The first schedule, the water service replacements and street improvements on Chisholm and Primrose, includes approximately 142 water services. We're working with Pat now to identify those areas that have two existing services to the lot, but the lot has been combined into one now, or it's a vacant lot and there's not even a house on the lot. So that includes, those water services are gonna be on Chisholm and Primrose, and it also includes Roundup Court, Prior Court, North and South, and Lariat and Laredo Court. The street improvements on that project will be a full depth milling overlay on Chisholm and Primrose, which the contractor will mill out the entire existing section of asphalt and then replace it with 3 inches of new asphalt. And then on the cul-de-sacs and adjoining streets will be a 1 inch mill of the existing asphalt and replace 2 inches of asphalt. And kind of in creating the crown, they kind of help with drainage on those roads. And then schedule two is a non-structural mill and overlay, and those were the streets that were rated as a 5 during the PACER study that was completed in 2024. And that, again, is the 1 inch mill with the 2 inch asphalt overlay, creating the crown to help with the drainage. And then schedule three, is a full depth mill overlay on Sweetgrass Drive, and mill off the existing asphalt, put in the new 3 inches of asphalt, and then it also includes a full reconstruction on Laramie Circle, and that was based on the geotech report. They came back and they took borings of the street, and they said that a structural mill overlay would only last about 5 to 7 years due to there being minimal or no subbase. And a full reconstruction will give the road an expected life of 20 years. And then the fourth and final part of that project, or the fourth schedule, is the Vista Drive stormwater drainage improvements. We plan to add 6 inlets in this location and upsizing the drain pipe that goes out to the outfall. That was designed per Montana DEQ 100-year storm, so it will drastically improve the probability of flooding, but if we have a 200-year or 500-year event, that residence could still see some flooding, just kind of like anywhere. And then you guys have the estimated costs in front of you. The only thing that I wanted to add with that was Pat and I were talking before this, and we had put in for that RTA grant, and the number that we put in for was $381,000. We haven't heard back from that, and I need to check back and check with our grant team to see if they've heard anything on those. But it looked like they had about $52 million to give out, and I think $799 million were requested in funds. So we'll kind of see. I'm not sure. I'm not all too. I don't know too much about that side of things, but that was just a thought that Pat had brought up. And then just to kind of reiterate what the mayor said, the project is split out into those four schedules. So depending on what the actual costs come back, you can award one, none, all, two or three, whatever. However, I guess the precedence that you guys see in the numbers that come back, you can award those how you like. And then just to speak a little bit on the project timeline, we're planning on advertising for bids starting on March 11th. We're planning on having a pre-bid meeting on March 17th. And the bids to be opened on March 27th. Assuming all that goes smooth, we're planning on the first council meeting in April to provide you guys with our recommendation. And then a notice to proceed May 11th and substantial completion by August 28th and final completion by the 25th. And then
September?
What?
25th of September?
Yeah, 25th of September for final completion. Yep. And then we kind of left that, you know, open all summer, from May 11th to September 25th. And that was just kind of our, if contractors have already had some work scheduled for the beginning of the summer, we wanted to give them some leeway to still think that they can bid on this project and not have to, you know, fight against other projects. So. And then lastly, Ryan Walsh is the senior project engineer and project manager on this project, and he couldn't make it tonight. So I'll do my best to answer any of your questions, but if I can't answer them, I'll bring them back to him and we'll get an answer for you guys. That's all I have for that. Any questions?
One thing that we may do, and I don't know, I anticipate what when we get these numbers, if we do break it down, we'll go to the coal board for some funding assistance. That's the plan.
Yep.
But we do break it down into two phases, and that gives us the opportunity to go two times versus one time. So that may be,
yeah.
But there's no guarantee on receiving anything, but that would be the plan if that's the direction we get.
Yeah, and I kind of chatted with Ryan about that this morning and just asked him, if we do, or if you guys do go with this one or two schedules, how does that look next year? So the project is already designed. It'll kind of just be a shelf. It'll be shelf ready for next year. And we'd have to maybe a little bit of time updating the project manual with the work that is completed this year, but it should, the design will be complete, so.
Question. Yeah, do I understand what you were saying? You guys are looking at reducing the number of those double penetrations?
Yes. If you look like on P1 or whatever it is, page 1, I think it was. Yeah, P1, I believe. You see where there's two lines, two blue lines going in between the center of a lot. That was designed because you had two trailers in there originally, is how it was designed. Looking at this, I mean, there's no reason to have both of them there, on the city's end of it. We need to cap the one off, dig it up, find it at the main, turn the cork valve off, get rid of that line, and then just put a new line, one new line in, and go from there, is what I would suggest,
Yeah.
Especially all these that are empty lots, that's what we need to do. Some of them that where you got the house already built, a lot of these people have two, bills are getting one for their irrigation or for a shop or something. They're already being billed twice, so we'll keep them ones that have double are already using them. I mean, so, them ones we'll have. But I figure we can probably hopefully get it back pretty close to that 84 mark that they originally estimated at. That's just my guess of looking at the empty lots and stuff that we can hopefully get away with. Might be more, I don't know that, you know, until we get out there and actually
kind of a lot less than 137.
Should be. I mean, I'm figuring a lot less than that. There's, you know, we were talking, there's really no reason to have two of them going into one location. I mean, especially with it being an empty lot. You know, we're kind of responsible to get water to them because that's the way it was, but we don't need to have two lines. I mean,
curious. I know we talked about last time, I wasn't sure what the decision was. So.
Yeah. And looking at their design, it shows it a lot clearer, you know, how they built it. And you go to cadastral and, like, you can't really see where the water lines come in on the lots and stuff, so.
Any other questions?
Yeah, one comment. Couple things. On the Vista storm drain.
Yep.
Okay. So, to put you a little bit at ease, I have quite an engineering background also.
Oh, good.
So, I dug through this pretty thoroughly, and I'll point out a couple things too. But I'm a little bit puzzled in that in February, the price on that storm drain was $73,000.
Yep.
We had some discussion up here last 2 weeks ago about that.
That was just the piping, though. That's not none of the street work on that cost.
So I went to what you've given us for the 20th, 13 days later, and I broke it out by line items. Now, my research may not be perfect, but I show that that has gone from 73,000 to 87,000. So about 1,000 a day since these two things came out. And so, and I realize there's, you know, there's a double, and I see where the two doubles are now, you know, the double drains and that. But that's a pretty good increase.
Yeah, that, gosh, I'm not exactly sure where we updated those numbers from. I don't know, maybe we found maybe a more recent project that, you know, called for a double in. I don't know exactly what the different line items were, but that's kind of my guess. Maybe we found a, because, you know, to get those kind of estimates, we go back and look at previous projects that were bid. So that would be kind of my only guess. Maybe we added a little bit more contingency onto our number. I'm not.
Yeah, there was some more sidewalk and things like that. But I was a bit taken back because it's a little bit. I'm not saying that I don't want to do that while we're up there tearing that street apart, but I don't want it to keep jumping. And I realize that it'd be a contractor or whatever.
Yeah.
But I still don't want it to keep jumping. That's a 19% increase.
Yeah.
And I was already choking it. It says 2,000.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just a concern I wanted to share.
Yeah.
It may be all legit and everything, but there's a pretty good job there.
Okay. Yeah, we will definitely,
And I'd be glad to talk to you, you know, after.
Okay.
Later in this week, or if you and Ryan can talk.
Yeah, maybe that'll be good to see, because I think he updated those. So.
But it is something that stood out to me.
Okay.
And,
yeah, that is, you're right, that is quite a bit.
Yeah, it's 1,000 a day, guys.
So that's stood out to me.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I will definitely, I'll write that down.
Yeah, if you would, please.
I'd just like to make a comment, too. It's ironic here that we're doing a storm drain, and this has, with going with Jack, there's 285 feet, lineal feet of our sidewalk that's going to be replaced. It's like, that's a lot of sidewalk to replace when we're doing a storm drain. It's just...
Yeah. Just like with that configuration, I'm sure you can kind of see it, how that, you know, it kind of cuts through that section of that cul-de-sac, that circle, and, you know, just, yeah, it's great. does seem like a lot, but
it's a lot of distance that we're replacing sidewalk, and it, I think one section it says here that there's 78 lintel feet of pipe, and the other side there's 35 feet of pipe, but we got 285 feet of sidewalk between the two points. It's like, yeah, that's... Even if you took between the two, I see that, 75 and 37 doesn't come up to 285 feet of sidewalk.
And maybe that number, maybe that's wrong in that estimate.
It's just a
point of
interest.
Check that out.
Yeah, if you just compare the two, you'll see it.
Okay? Yep.
Just look at the line items, and I think, at least for me, and I'm sure these guys too, we understand that if there's two, you know, bigger drains or whatever, that they, you know, and maybe, because you didn't account for it in February 3rd, but it is accounted for in this one.
Okay, yeah, I will get with Ryan and we'll get some answers to those questions. Yeah. Don't check on those that one.
Okay.
Any other questions?
On the street services, and it may just help you, but one thing I did see on page P3, you've got the same address listed three times at the top. I don't think that's quite...
Yeah, I noticed that too. That some of them, there's more than that one that has some.
At the bottom of the same page, there's a double there too.
So thank you for that. I just want to, if it helps, at least the record would be accurate.
For sure.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, well, that'll be our plan. We'll walk to move forward. We'll do what we need to do and then prepare to go out for bids, and hopefully we'll get some good prices and bring that information back.
Yeah. Yeah, we also met with the contractor that did some of the street work last year. He said the prices haven't gone up. He said if anything, he thought that they might be going down maybe, actually. So we'll see. Thank you guys for
coming. Thank you.
Okay. Next item is task order number 5. This is Great West Engineering. This is for $100,000. And this is for the wastewater preliminary engineering report. And I will entertain a motion to approve that task order number 5.
Did we receive that? Because I don't have it. I don't know if I missed it, but I don't have it in my packet.
I didn't give.
I got it.
I thought
you
I gave it to everybody.
I did get it. So.
Okay. I didn't. Yeah, I didn't get it.
Apologize if I didn't
get
it.
Oh, no. No, I just...
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Second. Discussion? Comments from the public?
Can you explain?
Yeah, what we've been doing is some people out here testing our sludge, compaction of our sludge, what we can do with our sludge. We had them in a press, basically an auger press, that did that here last year and a half. We had two different companies come in and do that. So this will kind of finalize that report and tell us which direction we need to go. Can we take it to the landfill for disposal? Are we going to do a land application somewhere for this? And then it will look at, we got our three cells out there that we use, look at them cells, make sure they're in good shape and everything. And the biggest issue, one of the big issues on there is we got to decide what we're doing with our septic that comes and dumps to us. It's getting to be a major concern, and we got to make a decision on that. And they'll give us a cost of adding a dump station. One of the options will be not letting them dump at all. And the option, I guess, is just ignoring it still, but we don't really want to take that option. And that will be also in this plan. Yeah. And we have received a $30,000 already from Montana Coal Endowment Program. And we got another $40,000 one out there that we hope we get, but we haven't heard nothing back on that one yet.
Okay. Any other discussion? Comments from the public? Okay, vote please.
Councilmember Longacre?
Aye.
Councilmember Rosander?
Aye.
Councilmember Hadler?
Aye.
Councilmember Dudley?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Task order number 5, Great West Engineering has been approved. Thank you for that. Next item is resolution 2026 R2. That is the surplus of police vehicle and donated to Rosebud County Search and Rescue. And I would entertain a motion to approve resolution 2026 R2.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2026-02 to move the surplus police vehicle to first responders. Rescue team.
Okay. Second, please.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion?
I think it's a good thing to do, and I've supported it last time. It'd be nice if we had a value on the vehicle, just so we can, if nothing else, boast that we. And it looks like to me it's around $20,000 minimum. But now I could be wrong, but
I tried.
It's a nice gift. And
I tried myself to get one online through Kelley Blue Book and some other websites, and for some reason, when I put in this particular vehicle, it just wouldn't give me anything on it. I don't know why.
Well, I did the same thing, and I didn't get to ask Chief Chris if it was a single cab or a double cab or whatever.
They're all double cabs.
Okay, so it's $20,000 plus. I mean, that's the big $17,000 is the cheapest of that year. So,
it might just be value because we order them as the police vehicle, so maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Okay, any other discussion?
This is the second vehicle we will have given this, the search and rescue. I just, okay.
Okay, vote please.
Councilmember Hadler?
Aye.
Councilmember Dudley?
Aye.
Councilmember Rosander?
Aye.
Councilmember Longacre?
Aye.
Thank you. That's approved. Thank you for that. And if there is no other business to come before the council, I'll adjourn the meeting. Well, thank you, everybody.